What's up, everybody? Before you get to your episode, it's DJ and Bucky with Move the Sticks. Bucky, what's on our latest episode?
Well, we're going to talk about your mock draft, but I'm really excited to talk about this pairing we have. 90s R&B with the top prospects in the draft, how we match them up. You need to tune in and listen.
Worlds are colliding, Jerry. Check it out. Move the Sticks, iTunes, NFL.com/podcast, as well as YouTube.
The Around the NFL Podcast has the vapors.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Welcome back, Mark. How you feeling?
I feel fine. I just got a bad look.
Oh, Dizzy Sessler.
Now, you know, that's great. I didn't even listen to the beginning of the last show, but
shocking.
I knew that from a couple Twitter mentions that you turned what was a tough very 3 days into me into a bit.
Now,
I knew as soon as someone was sick, Dan's going to go, oh, this will be great for the show.
Wait, now, don't you think that maybe if you were going to lob something like that, an accusation, that you should at least listen?
Not at all.
Well, no, we are no longer humans with lives and happiness and ups and downs. We are just players in the Dan Hansis drama, the bits. We're just part of the bits.
Yeah, but we're also ignoring the fact that I did have real, I was looking out for I hope Mark gets better. How many times did I say that? Like multiple times.
Doubt that, but what I received on, you know, online through various sources was that you're killing my diet. You're telling me I need to change the way I operate. I mean, that's absurd.
I simply question whether meat would help whatever you're dealing with.
But in the situation that I was in, like bringing me a plate of meat would have done nothing.
Plate of meat.
I don't know what sort of, you know, medical person you think you are, but that would have been the last thing that I needed.
Well, I didn't
at that time.
I wasn't.
Let's get him some antibiotics and a plate of meat.
I wasn't saying that that was
home.
The solution. I just wondered if that maybe that would help. That's all.
That's fair.
And I'm happy you're back.
I wonder things too.
You do. You wonder things.
A lot of things.
We're happy to have you back, though.
See, Colleen, it's nice
you
to
want
to
talk about who, so the people you got to look out for? Colleen had a huge grin on her face when the illness came up. She was looking mighty comfortable in that chair.
Well, listen, I mean, if this all came to a very quick end, my life would go on.
You look comfortable in your new array of clothes that you've brought from Boca Raton.
I feel
back
Connor
with a lot of good outfits.
Well, because Connor Orr was
free.
Typically the person that would go to that trip with me, and
the annual meeting.
He could not be more excited at any event about the possibility of free gear. And this was three bags. Last year it was one bag. It was three bags. And fellow journalists hating anyone from the NFL, because you only get it if you're from the NFL.
Oh, really?
Understandably looking at me like, you know, I was some shill.
So you have a whole new wardrobe, though.
Of work.
A lot of it is stuff that I'm going to be giving away because it's things that just don't, I'm not sure about, they don't really fit my wardrobe type style.
Really?
Here's a little secret, because we're also underpaid, we're happy to wear free stuff.
Speak for yourself, Wes. Wes, we get it. You're underpaid. Where are we at with the siren, the Wes I'm underpaid siren?
Efforting. We have to find the perfect one for it.
All right. On today's show, we are going to talk about the divisions of the NFL, because there are 32 teams. 16 teams in each conference. 8 divisions. 8 divided by 2 is 4. So 4 in each conference. 8 overall. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Woo.
Confirmed.
Got a little lost in the numbers there, but I made my way out. So
there used to be 6 divisions. Remember that?
Vaguely, yeah. Well, in 2002, we realigned, I remember.
Wasn't
that
long?
Well, there was also the weird year where there were 31 teams, and the AFC Central, I believe, at the time, before they became the North, had 6 teams in it.
It's a lot.
12 of your games.
A lot of teams. So anyway, the Division Power Rankings, which is a post up on Around the NFL. Greg, you put great effort into it. Speaking of efforting, you efforted on that post very well and delivered a hammer.
You didn't read it.
It is a yearly column that we've done. I guess we don't have many traditions, but we've managed
to. We have a lot of traditions.
One that goes back 5 years. We don't have a lot of traditions that have kept up since 2012, which was the first full off season of Around the NFL. But we've randomly put out a division power rankings around this time every year.
And without getting into it too much before we actually talk about it in earnest, this is a year of change, potentially, at least in our opinions. A
lot of big shake-up.
Of the divisions. So we're going to talk about that, and of course we're going to do some news before we throw it to Brandon to get into the news. Everyone's doing a great job on our subreddit, by the way, the Around the NFL subreddit, which, Wes, the numbers are going through the roof. I think you had said that they had really been multiplying over at the subreddit, which you were diving into.
Yeah, there were like six people on there, and now there's probably like 73.
Yeah. Let's.
No, see. I think there's more than that.
All right, Wes.
See, I didn't even know if that was a joke or not.
Wes on fire right now.
While we're talking, you know, are people contributing? You got the subreddit. I think we should send it out there because a lot of podcasts do this. Every podcast, we don't do it enough, that it really helps us to leave some comments and ratings on the old iTunes.
That's important.
I want to see our little ranking in the, because it's not about how many people listen to us. A lot of people listen to us, but they base it on how many comments are left. We're lagging a little bit on the comments. So, you know, if you haven't left a comment there, go leave one.
Let's lean into the power of our listenership here, because I'm looking at that subreddit. We now have over 400 people on that, and it was, I think, in the double digits at the beginning of the week, so a lot of people are flocking there. reddit.com/r/aroundtheNFL. And on iTunes, let's see if our listenership leans into it a little bit with, what is it, likes? Or what is it, the five-star ratings, some comments. Let's see if we can bump us up the old rankings.
You know, tell your
friends.
See
what happens, just out of curiosity.
Just start subscribing on like 15 different devices. Maybe steal people's iPhones and subscribe.
That's what,
and then
the
give
listener
them back. I mean borrow them.
That's what the listener wants. You know, they divvy out important time to come listen to the show, and 6 minutes in, Greg is given a homework assignment. Is handing out and delegating tasks.
Hey, it was one minute in the 3 hours of beautiful content we'll have all week.
I was going to say, we don't ask too much of our audience other than to listen, which everybody does a great job listening. Now, maybe this is more a challenge. What can we do to take down the Apple machine, or at least affect it? So please help us out there at iTunes. Let's do some news, Brandon.
This is why you lift all them weights. This is why you do all that.
It is now March 30th. And as things stand, the Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos, they don't become defending Super Bowl champions until the season starts, right? Right now they're just Super Bowl champions? Or is it a league new year? A new league year, so it already is defending Super Bowl
They're the
champions.
Super Bowl champion.
I just think they're the Super Bowl champion. I think you're right. Once they start playing games, then they're defending.
Okay. The Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos, as of March 30th, their starting quarterback is Mark Sanchez. This is something that's
And he doesn't
happening.
Have any competition. It's and just him.
It's just him. That's kind of a shot at Trevor Siemian.
Yeah. It was intended, Trevor.
Doesn't the word Siemian mean monkey-like?
Yes, it is, right? I don't know.
I believe it does.
So you're saying that?
I'm just saying I believe
that doesn't
help what
his
the
case.
Word Siemian means.
That doesn't help his
He's
case.
He's not an advanced species is what you're saying compared
I'm
to
not
Mark Sanchez.
Saying I anything say other than the derivation of the
met
word.
Met him during Super Bowl week and quite a nice
Who,
guy.
Who, Trev?
Yeah.
Trevbo?
Had to ask him a question or two about something else and couldn't have been nicer. Didn't seem like an imposing athlete to me, but good for him.
Did get one regular season snap. He lost a yard. I believe he probably was. It was a kneel down, but he did a good job with that.
So I bring that up because it's surprising because I think a lot of people, if you would have asked the football world, 3 weeks ago, if, you know, Colin Kaepernick or some other solution would be in Denver's building by now, people would have thought something other but Mark Sanchez. But here we are. And on Tuesday's edition of NFL Total Access on NFL Network, Ian Rappaport reported that the Broncos are interested in Josh McCown, who is currently a member of the Cleveland Browns, but perhaps not for long, as well as Brian Hoyer. So, Wes, you wrote this piece. Where where is this interest in terms of Syria? Is it more just these are the guys, so they're being connected to them, or is this a real thing?
Well, Dan, I would point back to you that you wrote a post a couple of days ago saying that Josh McCown is on the trade block, and Ian said on Tuesday's show that Browns are certainly looking to either deal McCown or cut him. So I think that, you know, maybe teams are waiting him out to see if he gets cut. But at this point, I led this column with McCown instead of Hoyer because, to me, McCown can be an upgrade on Sanchez and Hoyer cannot. I just don't see Hoyer as quite as relevant as a starting quarterback as Josh McCown.
You could argue that McCown, coming off last season, overall that offense was awful, but McCown had a couple good games. Took the Broncos to overtime last season. So that coaching staff saw him in that. But McCown probably could equal, if not be better than RG3. If you play him for 16 games.
Oh, I think he's way better than RG3.
So I don't think it's a huge problem for Denver. If they're looking, I think they have to draft someone too.
Well, they know these guys will be out there. Those guys they're not going anywhere. They're going to be cut, or if they have to give up a seventh round pick in the draft. It's not like you have to jump up and go get him. Brian Hoyer and Sanchez feel very duplicative. Why bother have them both? Maybe you could even maybe say the same for McCown. I know you love McCown, but how old is he now? He's 36. You said you can't teach RG3 how to avoid injuries. Josh McCown is in the Hall of Fame
avoiding
injuries.
I've admitted that before.
I know.
He's equally as reckless as RG3, but if you surround him with
more, I think he enjoys it. I think he kind of likes to get injured.
Yeah, but I think RG3's lack of instincts equals that out.
Are you thinking of his head-first helicopter dive?
I mean, he just seems like he's always going for it. You're coming at me, I'm McCown. You know,
you surround him with the Broncos' talent, what's there on that roster, I mean, is he worse than Brock Osweiler as a starting NFL quarterback? I don't think he is.
I do.
It speaks to the situation that the Broncos find themselves in now, because now you're either choosing between, if you don't get Colin Kaepernick, and we're going to talk about him in a little bit, but if you don't have Colin Kaepernick, who is no gimme anyway, like that he would be a guy that would lead you in a positive manner, you're going to choose between Mark Sanchez or Josh McCown, a 36-year-old journeyman who, and I know he's been on bad teams, but is 2-17 over his last 2 years as a starter. Has put up some decent numbers at times, but obviously is not a great quarterback either. I mean, he's okay, maybe, but they're not going to have a good quarterback this year. And even if they draft someone.
They didn't have one last year, though. That's what they would say to you, at least. They're trying to convince
them.
But with Peyton Manning, he's basically a coach on the field. You're not going to get that with Brian Hoyer.
Well, you also have a first or second round pick to be named later. And at this point, I would be shocked if they do not draft a quarterback with one of their first two picks, and I'm not a draft expert, but everyone seems to say this is a great draft for them to have a late first or second round pick, because there's maybe Paxton Lynch is in there, they'd have to trade up, but there are five or six guys that people think are worth a second round.
But how many teams?
People rip those guys to shreds.
Right, they're not going to be the top tier guys, and how many times has a defending Super Bowl champion went back to back with a rookie quarterback? It's just not something that happens. They're in a bad spot. There is a
quarterback sitting out there that won 10 games last year.
They seem to be completely disinterested by Ryan Fitzpatrick. So it's like, I'm with you.
I thought you were talking about Brian Hoyer. He almost won 10 games.
Give me Josh McCown over both of those guys.
So we'll see how that plays out. And then on the Colin Kaepernick front, Rap Sheet reported Monday night that the 49ers won't cut the quarterback. We knew this before his contract becomes fully guaranteed on April 1st. But Rappaport also added that the Niners will not trade Kaepernick unless they are, quote, blown away by an offer. And, you know, the Broncos are the only real suitor here, you would think, unless the Jets got involved, and I don't think that's going to happen. It's really, and I think you said this, Greg, earlier in the week, it's starting to look like there's a very real chance Colin Kaepernick is on the Niners, unless this is just posturing, which could be as well.
I don't think it's posturing by the Niners. I think Kaepernick's going to have to come to a point where he looks at the situation and realizes, this isn't going to happen for me. Can I play for this team? He clearly doesn't want to play for them. I now buy the fact that they do want him, that they've wanted him all along, but he came and hit them with this trade request. And what are you going to do? It's like, if a guy comes to you and tells you he doesn't want to be your quarterback, you're in a tough spot. But at some point, and I think that point is after the draft, Kaepernick's going to decide, do I want to keep playing football? Do I want to get paid $12 million this year? If he doesn't get traded, he's not going to have many options.
Yeah, I mean, coaches and GMs, when you ask about players that don't want to be on a team, typically the move is not, if it's not a money thing, to not try to get a guy that doesn't want to be in the building, let's maybe we can get him to change his mind over the course of the next 4 or 5 months and he can be our quarterback. Everything you've heard about Kaepernick is there are leadership issues at times with him too. You don't want a mopey Colin Kaepernick walking around your building when you've got Chip Kelly trying to like reestablish his credentials as a coach.
That's a good point. It's a different position than other positions.
Look at how this roster has changed just in the last 2 years since Harbaugh left. They're going to be unwatchable this year. They're going to be right there with the Browns as the worst roster in the NFL, and then add a quarterback who doesn't even want to be there.
I still think Colin Kaepernick is the week one starter for the Broncos because it makes too much sense to me. So all this stuff that's leading up into the draft, we're just filling filling the vacuum with some sort of news because we got nothing right now. I don't mean we shouldn't talk about it. It's legitimate news, and it's interesting. But the logic behind the whole situation, that the 49ers, on some level, we know they're willing to trade Colin Kaepernick. They said they will if they're blown away. On some level, we know the Broncos are interested. They were willing to give up a fourth-round pick. The money doesn't seem that crazy. It's just too logical not to happen. It happens on draft week.
Absolutely, because suddenly the Niners could have Carson Wentz or Jared Goff as your starting quarterback. They're in great position to draft one of those guys. And then the whole Colin Kaepernick thing is superfluous.
By the way, the Niners were the luckiest 5-11 team in the league last year. They could have easily been a 2-14 team a year ago. So,
agree.
If they take a step back from where they were last year, yikes. Mark, do you remember a man by the name of Tim Tebow?
Yeah, rings a bell.
What are your general memories of him? If you had to give somebody like a 15 to 30 second explainer about who was Tim Tebow.
I remember that he rose to massive popularity during an era where you and I specifically were charged with writing probably 6 to 7 Tim Tebow posts each a week, and they involved dating Kim Kardashian maybe and Katy Perry. It was a bad time for us in terms of what we were tasked with writing.
Dark days, yes.
Before I arrived, I don't want this. I was not responsible
for
assigning Kardashian. That's all I'm saying.
This was pre-Rosenthal, but we chased everything attached to Tebow.
Glad you got that out there, Greg.
Yeah, they called Manning the sheriff. I was the sheriff. Get that trash out of there when I come in.
Wow.
Nice work.
That would call for an It's About Me, I think.
It's About Me.
You know what? My first post at NFL.com was Tim Tebow landing spots.
On an airplane, you wrote it.
True story.
Wow.
Scared Dan and I both.
I'll never forget that. how are things going, by the way, Greg? Now, you're leaving for Mother Japan tomorrow, correct?
Well, it's not my mother. I am. I'm leaving on Thursday. Which is tomorrow. Long flight. Looking forward to it.
You came into the office a little later today, and I'm not going to lie, there were some questions about whether you were on one last bender before the flight.
That is not true. Things have calmed down. Making some plans. We're getting ready to leave. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been a fun eight days of bachelorhood.
What are you going to do on that airplane? It's free drinks. It's international flight, right? Are you just going to, like, be a good boy and read, like, 3 books?
Be a good boy? What are you, like?
I want to know.
You sound like a sixth-grade bully. What are you going to be, like, on the...
yeah, well, I want to know.
Out on the school year. Oh, you going to be a big boy reading little books with your friends?
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going with a buddy, with Anthony.
Forget it. You guys are going to be in chaos.
Yeah, well...
I didn't know that.
We'll have some drinks, watch some movies, I'm sure.
Tony Jizz is coming?
It's a long time. Anthony Jeselnik, the co-host of the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project.
Defunct.
RGVP.
Now defunct.
Is it defunct or on hiatus?
Or funky.
Wait, you take your other podcast crew to Japan with you?
Well,
you know. That's what I'm hearing.
I'm kind of having a hard time with what's happening here.
Well, I'm not paying for it.
The NFL is?
That would be cool. Do a show from Japan.
Maybe on this flight you guys can talk about, oh, man, that was really special what we had going. We should bring it back, you know, when I have some time when my tour's over.
That was all up in the air, you know, on our finale. It's possible it could come back.
Totally.
You never know.
I know.
Oh, you left it with a cliffhanger?
Well, not necessarily, but it's open-ended.
That's what you do in the business.
Know.
Yeah, well.
It was season one ends
entertainers
with a cliffhanger
on that show. Anyway, so Tim Tebow, yes, a former NFL quarterback. You're really a famous college quarterback if you really want to take a bigger step back, who then struggled in the NFL with the exception of one quirky little ride with the Denver Broncos in 2011. But he's still in the news occasionally because he's been looking for a job. The Patriots signed him and cut him. The Eagles signed him and cut him. He still holds out hope. He's almost 29 years old now. He was interviewed at a charity event on Wednesday, or on Tuesday, excuse me, about, and I asked Brandon to cut this whole thing. Listen to this woman for Fox and Friends. Her name is Ansley Earhart. I mean, listen to the fawning. This is what Tim Tebow brings out in people about a potential future in politics.
Thought about politics. Could you be such a good role model for these
kids? Well, thank you. It's been crazy, hasn't it?
No.
Yes, it's been a whirlwind watching everything. You know, I don't know in this time in my life, but you know, anyway.
So you're saying there's hope. Well, there's
you know
a
what?
Chance.
If there's a chance you can make a difference someday in something, then that would be intriguing. So, yeah.
Ansley.
Fawning.
Come back to us.
Wait, is that a reporter or is she just like an entertainer?
I think she's some type of correspondent for Fox News.
A little troubling.
So you're saying the political journalism in this country not always taken to be taken too seriously?
That seemed even by the standards of you know, tabloid journalism to be a little wild. But
well, Timmy had more substantive info in that interview than some of these debates and whatnot. I mean, he could fit right in.
You're fired.
I don't think I'd go to Tim Tebow for substantive info.
That's a thing. I mean, let's be fair. You think Tim Tebow's a leader of, you know, people like that?
Well, I think a lot of people look up to him. I think what he would want to do, I think politics is probably the worst route in this country right now to actually try to help people directly. Tim Tebow could do a lot better work by doing something other than trying to go into public office.
Where would be a better route for Timmy to go, Mark?
I think Connor Orr nailed it on our Slack channel this morning, yesterday? Well, on IM, where he talked about him being kind of like a public speaker, but he's always had charities. He grew up, his family was involved in all missions and stuff. Just keep doing that. That's what he's good at, and I don't think politics is a dirty road for Tebow to go down. Dirty.
I don't think Tim Tebow knows what he doesn't know.
Mm. Sounds like a politician, maybe.
Ooh, Greg.
Paraphrasing Saucy. Donald Rumsfeld, there are known knowns, things that we know.
Well,
there are known unknowns. We know there are things that we don't know, and there are unknown unknowns, what we don't know that we don't know. And Tim Tebow was raised in a fundamentalist religion and then played football as a quarterback, not an area where you're asking a lot of questions. I think the answers have been provided for him in life. He hasn't had to search for them. I don't think that's what I want in a political leader, me personally.
And who are you voting for this November?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Okay.
I think I'm going to play defense against Trump, though.
Okay. I think that's a strategy that a lot of people believe in. We'll see what happens. More on the political podcast coming up later this year. Back to football. The Cincinnati Bengals have lost some notable players to free agency. Now they're making some signings, starting with former Cleveland Browns linebacker Carlos Dansby, who, after being released by the Browns earlier this month, told Cleveland.com, quote, "I'm sure the Bengals are licking their chops right now." And he was right. They were licking their chops because Cincinnati signed the linebacker to a deal. In other news, the Bengals lost, of course, Mohamed Sanu to the Falcons and Marvin Jones to the Lions, their wide receivers. They signed a wide receiver on Wednesday, Brandon LaFell, the former Patriots pass catcher, who did have, people forget, a 74-catch season two seasons ago. Last year was an injury-marred mess with a lot of drops and really some flaws in his game became apparent, but the Bengals are going bargain hunting with Brandon LaFell. Wes, your thoughts?
Well, you raised the point that he 74 catches, 953 yards, and 7 touchdowns for a Super Bowl team 2 years ago. Last year, he was never right. He had the foot injury, came back late. It just seemed like he never was in sync, and Greg has said multiple times that deep ball to Brandon LaFell was the least effective play in football last year. I think Andy Dalton to Brandon LaFell would be maybe even more, maybe even less effective.
But he's a starter. These are two guys who are starting week one at this point. I don't think LaFell will still be a starter by week one necessarily. I think they're going to draft multiple wide receivers just like they did with Sanu and Jones and see how those guys can fit in. But at this point, he's their number two because it is insanely thin. They needed a veteran just to plug in there. And then you have Dansby, who I would think would be starting either over A.J. Hawk or certainly while Perfect is suspended.
So definitely during Perfect. I mean, I think with Dansby, he's not the guy he was a couple years ago. And, I mean, it's like Cleveland didn't lose much by letting him go. But he's kind of an interesting player to fit into. I think he's the oldest Bengal already. Oldest player on the roster. And one thing that Dansby has always been is like a great locker room guy. And it's not a bad addition on that front. I don't. It's just interesting to me that he knew weeks ago that the Bengals of all teams would be.
Well, he played. Wasn't Kevin Coyle the defensive coordinator, or he was on the defensive
in
coaching
Miami.
Staff when yeah. Dansby was in Miami, and yeah. now he's back in Cincinnati. Mm. I'm guessing there may have been
that's
some
usually,
kind of communication.
Yeah, there's usually how it works.
20 years ago this week, Mark Sessler, the Baltimore franchise, left Cleveland. And part of the deal was they could not, Art Modell could not take the Browns' name, right? The color scheme, the uniform, and the history of the team. That was part of the concession that was made. That had also.
Not originally, but it was, they fought for that.
Eventually,
the city,
yes.
Yeah.
So when Modell got to Baltimore, he had to start from scratch. 20 years ago on Tuesday, the Ravens were selected as the team name. It was a telephone poll. I want you to think these other names, what could have been, guys. The Baltimore Bulldogs, that was Art Modell's favorite choice, a reference to one of the original NFL franchises. The Baltimore Americans, another option.
Oh, please.
Referring to a train, a Baltimore to Ohio train. The American, the Mustangs, which Johnny Unitas got behind. And Unitas famously, when the Ravens were named, had this to say, I don't like it. I don't think it has any association with football. The Ravens was, of course, a nod to Edgar Allan Poe, one of Baltimore's famed residents who wrote The Raven.
It's one of the most famous writers in American history.
Yes. And, Mark, your thoughts on this? I thought you had an interesting point yesterday.
I don't think I'm allowed to say what my initial point was.
Hmm. You can say it.
I think you can.
Just say it. I don't know what it is.
I mean, I've always heard that they basically named their franchise after a Baltimore area poet that slept with his sister.
So you're questioning the character.
It had a little bit more of an edge yesterday.
Of Poe.
Listen, first of all, any naming process, and it's
kind of a cool name though. Doesn't it work pretty
name.
Well?
What, Ravens?
I think it's a great name.
Ravens is not but the idea that you would name yourself the Americans.
Right. So
in an American sport with 32 other American teams, that's a bit precious. Get over yourself.
Well, so that was good they didn't choose it.
Know what else Mike could have been?
What?
Art Modell offered $5 million to Jim Irsay for the name Colts.
Interesting.
Because they were one of the most storied franchises in NFL history. And if anyone has ever seen the 1982 movie Diner, knows how much the Baltimore Colts meant to that area. Jim Irsay reportedly wanted $25 or $50 million for the name, not $5 million.
That is, Wes, that's your wheelhouse, 1978 to 82 cinema.
Diner is one of the great movies.
Diner is a fantastic movie.
Listen, I wasn't saying it wasn't.
Well,
I'm down, kissing cousin.
The Colts, by the same guy who did the 30 for 30 on the Colts marching band.
The Colts gets no more fever pitch in that movie than when a guy's about to marry this girl, and for her to get married to him, she has to go through like an intricate, like 40 question or something on the Colts, and I believe she fails. Or does she pass at the very end?
But I think she just barely
passed. I mean, it's like he would not marry her if she doesn't pass.
I mean, speaking of great sports-related movies, you said it. Fever Pitch. Wow, the chemistry. Fallon, right.
What about
Barrymore. What? Night. You just can't create
There's
that.
There's a British version with Colin Firth.
No, I'm kidding. That movie was terrible. But the book about the soccer team
is great.
One of the top 10 sports books of all time. I'll throw it in there.
Fever Pitch. The American version was based on the 2004 Red Sox.
Yeah, I'm joking. But.
Which was, as a Yankee fan, the lowest moment was the 2004 ALCS when they blew a 3-0 lead. But 2004, the movies like Fever Pitch and the way Red Sox fans comported themselves started to make things feel a little bit better because you guys were just poisoning your own well. And
you guys being Greg.
It really ruined things with the multiple World Series they won after that.
No, just about how people viewed you.
She's not idea for a future podcast. If you were a commissioner of sports for a day, I would rename Baltimore the Colts. And number one on the list.
Ooh, I like this.
The Utah Jazz. I'm sorry you have to give the Jazz back to the Saints. It's, or back to New Orleans. It's the most poorly named team of all time. The Lakers should be in Minnesota.
Well, what are the Indian? Okay, I like that. What about Indianapolis?
Making
what
do points.
They get to be?
Well, they can be anything because, you know, their history didn't start till 1983.
What about the Lakers?
That's what I'm saying. The Lakers belong in Minneapolis.
And the Dodgers.
Minnesota.
That's a good idea.
Really
name realignment.
Trolley cards in L.A.
Yeah.
They do geographical realignments. They need to do a name realignment.
That's what I'm saying. We should do a commissioner of sports for
Give the Jazz back like to the Pelicans. Is that what you said?
Give the Jazz back to New Orleans, yeah. That's
the boss is gone next week, so this might be.
I mean, how could.
You guys should do it tomorrow. If this is the best we can do for news today, think of tomorrow.
Just a sign of the times, by the way, how they determined that the Ravens would be the team name, a telephone poll conducted by the Baltimore Sun.
Very odd. I was living in the area when that happened, and I had plans to disrupt
that. That is really bizarre. Yeah.
Entire operation.
That's what's happening in the news. All right. So, here we go. Let's get into it. Division power rankings. Greg wrote up the piece. Does it have a vanity URL?
No.
All right. You could find it on Google. If you do NFL.com:, and then put it in quotes, 2016 NFL division power rankings, you'll get it. That's the best
way. How about NFL.com/Rosenthal? That would do.
Ooh. That's a great one, too.
Ooh.
Greg wrote a nice piece here. Greg, why don't you set it up for us exactly how this all works? We've been doing it every year.
Well, the six around the NFL writers, the four in this room, and then we've got Kevin Patrick coming at you from Detroit, lifting his weights.
What a body.
He sent in his top eight divisions. Connor Orr sent in his top eight divisions. Everyone here did. And you add it all up in a complicated mathematical stew, add up the numbers, and you see who's on top, who's on bottom. Some definite trends emerged this year. Four different divisions got the votes for top division. A lot of disagreement this year. It was a tough one. I feel like it's a very balanced league right now.
Well, this is why it's tricky, because there's for every team division where you're going to, oh, well, this is the best division in football, there's some bum team at the bottom of the standings that you have to factor in, because you want to, and we'll get into it, but I tend to lean towards the divisions that were a little more balanced, even if they didn't have the best teams, because there were no tomato cans. I took that into effect.
But that did not change the number one division on the rank on the board, which has right now, you know, one of the biggest tomato cans in the Cleveland Browns. The AFC North rises to the top. The NFC West was our top division for three straight years. AFC North, I looked back, was always in the top three or four. And now we put it as number one. I think it makes sense because to me they have three teams that could make the Super Bowl. That's giving the Ravens a lot of credit. But I wouldn't shock me if the Ravens made the Super Bowl. So I think that's what helped out the AFC North. I don't know if any other division
where the Niners have crumbled in the West.
Right. And so you have the Niners and the Browns kind of cancel each other out. But you would take the AFC North's depth, I guess, over other divisions. But we all disagreed. I actually had them third, I think. It was just no one had them anywhere lower than second or third. And so that helped them out.
So it just added up basically. So would eight, if they were first, they got 8 points. Did you do it like
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Two people voted AFC North number one. Two people voted the NFC West number one. I believe it was Kevin Patrick coming at you. No, he had him second. I believe you and Connor were the two AFC North guys. What, am I wrong?
I was the AFC West. But, I mean, it makes sense. And I think a big reason why they took it in this group of six is that, I could speak for this room at least, that We're all very high on the Ravens this year, I think, having a bounce-back season. And we still think the Bengals are going to be good, and we love the Steelers. So that makes a lot of sense. Even if the Browns go 3-13, the rest of these teams, they all seem like they could be 10-plus.
Well, you can't ask for any division to typically have four major contenders. I mean, the idea that, and Greg said it, with the North, it wouldn't surprise you if three of those teams made the Super Bowl on any level. And I look at the Pittsburgh as a favorite in the AFC.
I think their defense gets better. I think the Bengals roster is right there with any team in the league. I don't really know if the Ravens will bounce back. They have had two out of the last three seasons, either mediocre or just terrible. But they have legitimate quarterbacks in this division, or those three teams do.
This was by far the hardest year to do this exercise, I thought.
Yeah,
I don't think there's much separating. I had the
I agree.
The only thing I knew going into this, what I would have the NFC East last, partly out of spite, just because of what you mentioned in the article. They get so much hype. They get so much television time. Everybody thinks they're a great division. And frankly, they don't have any good teams.
Right.
And I'm looking at our list last year. The 1-2 spot was NFC West number one and AFC North number two. So they flip, in our opinion, from one March to the next.
I had NFC West number one because, and so did Mark, I believe. I don't know what your reasoning, Mark, was. But mine was basically they have the best 1-2 punch. I mean, they have two of the top four teams. And no, since what Wes was saying, that no division's kind of perfect, that just was enough. And the Rams, to me, are... They're underachieving, but they're a solid team. You got the turd in the punch bowl with the 49ers. But you have – I only think there's
– such a gross saying, by the way. And
it sounds like a terrible party.
It's not a Greg thing specific. A lot of people use that. And it's like an actual piece of human feces in fruit punch.
He was, for a long time, leaning on fly in the ointment. That was a big, big phrase of Greg's down the stretch and through the postseason. So he's now taken it to another level.
Working a little blue. This is Bachelor Greg on display once again.
I'm speechless right now. I have nothing
to say. Bird in the punch bowl. Got any other graphic?
Him and Jeselnik just fly into Asia.
You know what my main takeaway from this was?
What?
The top eight teams in the league for me were pretty easy.
Okay.
And then 9 through 28 or 30. You could rank them just about anywhere. And then the Browns and 49ers are way worse.
Well, you had the eight, you had the most out there. Number one ranking of any division. How about the agnostic over there picking the AFC East as the number one division, whereas Dan and I did not.
Well, you know I carry that water up and down the hill for the Patriots.
Up, down, up, down, up,
so
down.
They're number one, obviously, on this list because they're number one every year for me.
They're
the best team in the league.
And except then, for, when they don't win the Super Bowl. But,
I think the Bills will be a little bit better this year. The Jets will be a 500 type of team, and the Dolphins are around 500 too. They don't have any weak sisters there.
They're the example of the weak sister clause.
See, I think the AFC West is like the AFC East in that way. They don't
The AFC West, in my mind, has two of the worst five teams in the league.
What?
The Rams are going to go into
the I said that. No, the AFC West.
Oh, the AFC. Yeah, the AFC West has four strong teams.
I think those are four good teams. I had them up high because, to me, any one of those four teams could make the playoffs and it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah,
maybe not go to the Super Bowl.
Best team in the division has Mark Sanchez as its quarterback.
But the worst team in the division has Philip Rivers as its quarterback, and you've got some other good quarterbacks and some promise there.
We should. I don't know if we've said any of the actual order other than the 1-2, but
I don't think so.
1 through 4 is AFC North, NFC West, AFC West number 3, and then AFC East number 4. So Wes had them at number 1. I'm assuming the rest of us had to have them at the middle of the pack or significantly lower for them to fall to 4.
These votes were very close. This was like our election. Your vote really counted. If one person had gone off, it would have totally changed things. These four were all pretty tightly bunched. The NFC North, which we'll get to, fifth was kind of off on its own, and then the three bottom divisions we all agreed about. So I think we saw, to me, it's a balanced league. The divisions are balanced, and the AFC and the NFC is pretty balanced.
I mean, the exercise is a little bit absurd at this time of year, but I like that the AFC South got out of the number 8 spot. And if I really had wanted to go rogue, I don't even remember filling in the answers for this. When was this? Was I home? You caught me at a weird time and I sent it in over
you
email.
You were struggling. You sent it back. You were actually the first person to send it back. This shouldn't surprise anyone about Sessler. He's at home. He's fighting through an illness. And he sends it back before any of these guys who are on the clock.
Well, that maybe put less thought into it, too. But
I was working at the time.
How about the AFC South? I think the AFC South is – I know this sounds like you could probably record to last summer and I said the same thing, but I think the AFC South, four interesting quarterbacks in that division. That was not the case when they were an absolute joke a couple seasons
ago. 2 years ago, they were terrible.
I could see them jumping up to 5 or something. I think the idea – they're not going to go higher than 7 or 8 in this exercise because of what they are. But I could see it happening. Nobody believes me.
On this podcast, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about five franchises on the rise. Three of them are in the AFC South, and right. the other one's been the usual division
Which,
winner.
That's also the reason to have your guard up a little bit, though, because in springtime, when you start thinking teams are yeah. much better, you never really know.
No, for sure.
But you know they're fun. They're more fun to watch. You know the Colts, the Titans, even the Titans because of Mariota, they have some interest level. And even the Texans, who to me always bored me more than the rest of the division, at least there's something different there that you can get into with you got Watt.
But Dan's right, though. I mean, this is a division, and you got to go do it for once.
This reminds me of maybe this should be an off-season post. No, it's too late for this. The most underrated games of 2015 season. Number one, Jaguars-Titans, the second time they played.
The Thursday night game?
The Thursday night game was a total snoozer, and people missed. It was like 42-39 in an insane fourth quarter where Bortles and Mariota were just lighting it up. It was a treat. Meant nothing.
But it was a treat fun. For everyone who doesn't care about defense.
5-8, the NFC North, NFC South, AFC South at 7, and then NFC East. And I think Greg, you wrote it in the post, and here's proof that I read the post. I'm the man. that maybe this is a little bit of revolting because we see them so much, these teams in primetime settings. And you're just sick of it. You're sick of seeing the Cowboys and Giants playing in big-time Sunday night football spots with Al and Chris and Michelle with the call. And it's like, what'd they do to deserve this? They get the ratings. That's why they get that spot. But they don't play great football. And there's nobody in that division. I mean, it would be very surprising, yes or no, if anybody in that division won more than 11 games, correct?
Well, what if you look? Dallas is incomplete, but that last season was a complete nightmare for them. I mean, you get them healthy, you get your quarterback in for 16 games. I can see
a lot
Dallas.
Of holes, though.
Well, no, but here's the thing: how do teams get to 11 games?
Holes.
It helps to be in a bad division. If the rest of the division's beatable, you could be a team that isn't really an 11 win type team, but you could win 11 or 12 games.
I had them seventh over the AFC South, but I think those two divisions stand out that they don't really have anyone in those divisions that if any team in either one of those divisions made the Super Bowl, you'd be surprised. I mean, the Colts maybe wouldn't totally shock you, but yeah, I'd be surprised if the Eagles or the Giants or the Redskins somehow got it together or the Cowboys. To me, the whole the Dallas thinks, I think right now, because Jerry Jones thinks it, that we were one of the best five teams in the NFL 2 years ago. Then we didn't have Tony Romo. Now we're going to get Tony Romo back so we can be one of the top five teams. And I look at that roster.
That
I don't see it.
What's wrong with the roster?
Their defense has holes all through it. I think their front seven, which was a strength last year, is a weakness now. They've lost people, you know, including someone you want to lose like Greg Hardy. You've got injuries there. There's not much.
They've got your boy, the Making the Leap guy.
Tyrone Crawford.
They've got DeMarcus Lawrence, who came on like gangbusters last year at the end of the season.
Coming off back surgery.
Got a high draft pick. A lot can change.
Sean Lee's one of the best linebackers in the league. I don't know. To me, like they didn't make a deal with the devil this year. They'll be fine.
Wasn't it 2 years ago that we were saying the Cowboys had the worst defense we had ever seen in our human existence?
And that was one of my favorite podcast segments ever.
But it was also a drumbeat throughout the offseason that the Cowboys were just a mess.
Right, and then they
let's admit at this point, 4 years into the show, it's March 30th. We have no concept what's going to happen with these divisions.
That's true. No respect for the NFC South, by the way. No one had them higher than sixth, despite, I think, the best quarterback lineup of any division in the league and the best team in the league last year until the Super Bowl.
We're probably a little guilty on this podcast of concentrating too much on quarterbacks and ignoring the rest of the roster.
Well, not in this
case.
Well, the
Saints were legitimately junk for a couple seasons in a row.
And they're not any better right now.
Bucks got to show it. I mean, what are we loving in that
division?
Why
do we think the Bucks defense isn't – I mean, to me, what have they shown that they're a good defense?
Well, we're loving that they had the league MVP, the best team in the NFL until the final day of the season, and three good quarterbacks, so you're hoping that you can get other things going. Tampa, forget about Tampa for now, but New Orleans and Atlanta wouldn't shock you if they win 10.
I have New Orleans as easily the worst team in that division. Mm.
I mean, team picked number one a year ago, and the Falcons and Saints have been bad for a couple years in a row now, so that's how you wind up near the bottom of this list.
Good chatter, guys. Division power rankings, NFL.com/Rosenthal. To read the whole thing. Good job, Greg.
Thanks, buddy.
Because not only did you recap, you know, each of the divisions, then you had a few more thoughts. I'm hoping to get into your thought bubbles.
I think Greg should print this out, fold it up in a nice little square and put it in his pocket, and everywhere he goes in Japan, have this article on his body.
So he can show it to people?
Just to know
stick
that
it
he
in
did
the face.
This.
And he left it in the punch bowl.
Right. He left with a big, gigantic punch to the gut before he departed the country. Just an A-bomb on our NFL.com website.
Well, the last time I was in Japan was a week after I was hired by the good old NFL.
That's right.
And the NFL Japan office is just blocks away from where my in-laws live. There is an office, just a small, just four people work there. Apparently they closed it down, but now it's reopened.
What do they
reopened.
Do there?
I don't know, but I might want to go work there someday.
Origami.
Check it out. You should check it out.
Greg was in Japan. Dan and I both furiously texting each other, convinced we're going to get fired when he comes back.
I like the idea of that. Greg's going to come in, restore order.
It was a very. It was a time of very little surety. I will say that.
You're telling me. We'll be back on Thursday. At least three of us will. Greg will be on an airplane or going to an airport.
I will be in the air.
You'll be in the air on your way to Japan, so have a good time. The boss.
Thank you, sir. Be fun.
Before you do that, though, and I'm very excited because I got to send out my first ever calendar invite on our internal email system around the NFL Podcast Ideas Summit right after this, guys. So bring your thinking caps. Maybe do a little.
I already had one idea.
Red Bull, drinking your Red Bull, anything to really get your mind stimulated. A cup of coffee, maybe. I will not provide any Danish.
No.
I don't
save that for the Fork Committee.
Yeah, that's for the Fork Committee. So that's it. Yes, and again, the iTunes challenge. Hashtag iTunes challenge is on. Let's see if we can manipulate the system and rise up the rankings. You know, put everybody on
notice. Feel free to belittle us in the comments as long as you give us 5 stars.
Yeah, that's a trade-off we'll certainly take. That's it. So we'll be back on Thursday. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm. The mailman, the boss, and the Irishman behind the glass. Till Thursday.